You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Bless the name of Jesus. We give God thanks and praise that we can be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are still in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 21. Last week we stopped at verse 32, and we are going to be continuing from there this week. We see in verse 32, Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. So they did not repent after they heard the word of God. They were so caught up in their religion that they thought they were righteous. So Jesus was showing them up and showing that the tax collector and the harlots entered the kingdom before them because they chose to believe the word of God. So we are going to go on to verse 33 of Matthew 21, but we are going to pray before we continue. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your many blessings in our lives. We thank you for allowing us to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God Almighty Lord, that you'll continually lead us and guide us into all truth. We pray, O God, that your word will be illuminated to us, Almighty God, that we will live like you, Jesus. We will walk like you. We will talk like you. Oh God, we will do good deeds, oh God, like you, bringing honor and glory to your great name. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, and as your word come forth to us, our minds will be renewed and we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we just thank you right now, oh God, that we will go forth knowing what is good and acceptable and your perfect will, because your word, oh God Almighty, is abiding in us. So we give you thanks and praise for your word to us. We give you thanks for what you're doing. We thank you for this medium where your word can go forth over these radio waves, oh God Almighty. And we thank you for those that are listening this evening, oh God, that your words, oh God Almighty Lord, will prick their hearts, oh God. Those who are not yet saved, oh God, will come to know you, Jesus. Oh God, those that are saved, oh God, will grow in grace and knowledge of you. Father, we thank you again for what you're doing in this season. Thank you for your grace and mercy divine, and we look to you and give thanks in Jesus' name. We pray and we say amen and amen. Bless God. So we go on to verse 33 of Matthew 21. Verse 33 of Matthew 21. And the word of God said, hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. So we see Jesus continue with his parables. And we see and know that a parable is an earthly saying with a heavenly meaning. So he was speaking, all of the what he was speaking here has spiritual meaning to it. So we see that Jesus spoke of a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. He dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. So we see, people of God, this was a wealthy landowner. The Bible says he had a vineyard. A hedge was around it. It was fenced around. And he had a wine press in it. And it is said, people of God, those rich men in Israel at that time would also have a wine press in their vineyard. And he also built a tower. So he had a watchtower, people of God. And in that watchtower, there would be somebody placed there as a watchman to watch, to see, people of God, if the enemy was coming even to destroy the vineyard. So we see, people of God, this was a parable about the landowner. And the landowner here, as we can see in this parable, is referencing God the Father. It's referring to God the Father. We see the vineyard, people of God, is referring to Israel. We must understand this parable. the vineyard is referring to Israel. So we are going to turn to Isaiah 5. People of God, Isaiah 5. We are going to turn to Isaiah 5. And we are going to read from 1 to 7. But verse 7 is our key verse. But we are going to read from 1 to 7 to understand what the word is saying to us this evening. So we can understand this parable a little better as we go into the book of Isaiah. For Isaiah prophesied about what would happen. So we'll read, people of God, Isaiah 5 verse 1 to 7. The word said, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stone and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also make a winepress in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it." Verse 7, our key verse, people of God. And we look on the vineyard as Israel. Look on verse 7. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." People of God, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. "And the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help." So this vineyard, the planting of the Lord, the house of Israel, people of God, has turned to their own way. Instead of being just, people of God, the Lord was saying they were oppressing the people. Instead of living righteously, they were crying out for help. People of God, we have to come to understand that this vineyard is the house of Israel. The word of God make it clear to us, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." So we see the vine dressers, people of God, were the Israelite leaders, the leaders especially, the Israelites, but the leaders especially were the vine dressers. So they were called to do that special work, people of God, of really nurturing and growing up the people of God to fear God and to walk in his ways and to show forth justice and mercy and righteousness to God's people. But we see, people of God, they have turned from that. So we see, look at verse 34 of Matthew 21. "Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit." So we see when harvest time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. So we see, people of God, the Lord would send forth his prophets and his priests to speak to his people. But many did not hear. Many did not change their ways. They did not receive them. So they were sent out. And what happened? Look at verse 35. "And the vine dressers took his servants." Look at what they did. "Beat one, killed one, and stoned another." So we see, people of God, Israel would persecute the prophets and the priests of God. And they would kill them, beat them, kill them, abuse them. So we see they were abused and killed by the vine dressers, who were the Israelites, especially the leaders in Israel. So we see, people of God, the prophets of God, as Jesus said, "Remember, the prophets were persecuted before you." The prophets of God were persecuted because of righteousness' sake. They were speaking righteousness. They were speaking to them to turn from their wicked ways. But they would not hear, people of God. And because of that, they would want to silence the prophetic voices. So the word of God tells us the Lord sent his servants, as he continued in the parable, and they were taken, they were abused, they were killed by the vine dressers. But look on verse 36. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. So he sent more prophets and priests among them, and they did likewise to them. They did the same to the other servants as they did before. So they abused them, they killed them, people of God. And we can see and look back in the scriptures, and many of those prophets who died, some were beaten, some were put in prison, people of God. We see Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and all those prophets. Many have gone through so much. Many were killed. And we, as God's people, have to understand that when we decide to follow Jesus, people of God, let us make up our minds that we are willing and ready to suffer for the sake of Christ Jesus. So we see again the Lord sent out other servants, and they were also killed likewise. Look at verse 37 of Matthew 21. Then last of all, the word of God said, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. He sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But look at what happened in verse 38. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So the son here, people of God, we know it's referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So all the prophets came, the priests and all those came in the name of the Lord. And they were beaten and abused and killed. And now the Son came, people of God. There was a prophetic word that the Son would come. The Son, the Messiah, the Son came. But you know what happened? The word of God said, they said, come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So people of God, we see where they killed Jesus. They put him to death. They did not really kill him. The word said he laid down his own life. But they were the ones who brought him to the governor, to the Roman governor. And we see where Christ was crucified for us, for our sins. But none could take his inheritance. None could seize his inheritance. So we as God's people have to know that in Christ, we have become joint heir with him. And he is living forevermore. He's eternal in the heaven. He lives forevermore. The word of God said he ever live to make intercession for us. So we see when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. Look at verse 39. The word of God says, so they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. So they took Jesus, they took him, the son. And people of God, Jesus was speaking a parable, but we can know who he was talking about here as we understand the scriptures. They took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. They took Jesus, they cast him out of the city of Jerusalem. They brought him, people of God, to that place called Golgotha. And there they crucified him. They cast him out of the vineyard. We don't want you. We don't want you, people. And we see, people of God, we have to understand the word of God said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to his own Jewish people. They received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to become the children of God. So we see they took him and cast him out of the vineyard, the word said in verse 39, and killed him. So we read, people of God, in Hebrews 13, verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He suffered outside the gate. Outside, they took him outside the city of Jerusalem. They could not do the killing in Jerusalem. They took him out of the camp, people of God. So that by his own blood, people of God, He sanctifies us. He went and he was killed. He was crucified on that cross, people of God. The word of God said, the soldiers pierced his side. And when they pierced his side, blood and water gushed from his side. People of God, he has given us the new birth, the spiritual birth, through his blood. So we have to come to understand, people of God, he was taken out of the camp. He was taken out and killed. But he died for us. He paid our sin debt. He paid, people of God, for us. He paid so that you and I today can live and live eternally with him once we have put our trust in him. He suffered outside the gate. Look at verse 13 of Hebrews 13. It said, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. How many of us, people of God, are willing and ready to bear his reproach? How many of us are willing and ready to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ? How many of us are willing and ready to go outside the camp, to step out by faith, and going and being a witness for Jesus Christ? How many of us are willing, people of God? How many of us understand what he has done for us at the cross? How many of us know that when he said it is finished, our redemption is paid for? We are paid for in full, people of God. So we don't have to go help out Christ. All we have to do is trust in him. Trust in the finished work at the cross. Believe that he has done it all for us. For the wages of sin is death, the word of God says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see the word said they took him, they took the son, cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. But people of God, they would not know or understand that he died. He laid down his life for us. He said, no man took my life from me. I laid it down. He laid down his life for us. So we have to understand, people of God, that he had the power to lay down and to take it up again. So we serve the great and the almighty God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at verse 40 of Matthew 21. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? The question is asked. Jesus asked the question. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? What will he do to those vine dressers? The Bible tells us in Colossians 3 verse 6, that he will pour out his wrath on the children of disobedience. He will pour out his wrath on the children of disobedience. So we have to come to understand, people of God, what will happen to those who disobey him? What will happen to those who rebel against his word? We have to come to understand that the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. Look at verse 41, people of God, of Matthew 21. They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. Look at what they were answering Jesus, people of God. They were giving Jesus the answer. They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruit in their season. Look at verse 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus said to them, remember, Jesus asked a question, what will the landowner do to those vine dressers who, when he comes, they have not done the work that they were supposed to do, but they killed his servants, they killed his son. What will he do to them? And they answered correctly. They said, He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their season. And we see in verse 42, Jesus said to them, Jesus responded to them. And we see how he responded, people of God. He was responding using the scriptures on them. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The stone which the builders rejected, the builders of the Jewish people, the stone, Jesus Christ, the head of the corner. He is the head cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. He holds up the building together. The stone which they rejected, Jesus was saying, I'm the one who you rejected. He won't become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, the word said, and it's marvelous in our eyes. So Jesus was quoting from Psalm 118:22-23. Psalm 118:22-23, the word said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So we see, people of God, Jesus always quoted the scriptures, showing that he has come to fulfill the scriptures. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. We see, people of God, he has come to fulfill it. And the word of God tells us that he said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? You don't know what Psalm 118:22-23 said? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. I am the chief cornerstone. He was telling them, he, the Son, is the chief cornerstone. Look on verse 43, people of God. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. Look on it, people of God. Jesus made it clear to them, I'm speaking to you, the religious people. Therefore, I say to you. So Jesus made it clear. We have to make, people of God, it clear to those religious people that religion cannot take you in. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Savior. He said, therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God, the rulership of God in the lives of his people, Israel, will be taken from them and given to a nation, a Gentile nation, who will bear the fruits of righteousness of God's kingdom. And people of God, we see the word of God tells us that Jesus has come as a light to the Gentiles. The eyes of the Gentiles has been opened, and they are now producing fruits of righteousness. So we see, people of God, God is all wise, all knowing. He knows the heart of man. The word of God tells us in John 10:16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. People of God, Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. The Gentiles will bear the fruit of righteousness, showing forth the kingdom of God. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is in us. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And we must bear spiritual fruits, people of God. We must bear spiritual fruit, showing forth the righteousness of God, showing forth his praise and his glory. We are to bear fruits of righteousness. As many as receive Christ, to them gave he the right to become children of God. And if we are children of God, we must live godly in this present age. We must live righteously. We must live soberly. Live as children of light. The word of God continues in verse 44 of Matthew 21. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken. Jesus declared that he is the chief cornerstone. But he said, whoever falls on this stone will be broken. And on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Jesus said, whoever falls on this stone, whoever falls on me, that's what he was saying, will be broken. But whoever I fall on, whoever this stone falls on, it will grind him to powder. So people of God, it behooves us to fall on Jesus. And in our broken state, people of God, he will mend us. There is hope for us in our broken state. When we fall on Jesus, we'll be broken. And in our broken state, people of God, we can be healed. He's here to mend us. He came to heal the broken hearts. He came to heal broken hearts, people of God. So we have to understand, as he said, if we fall on him, we will be broken. But if he falls on us, we will be destroyed. Let us be careful not to let him fall on us. We do not want to experience the wrath of God in our lives. Let us turn to Jesus wholeheartedly, people of God. Turn to him, fall on him, and be broken. A broken and a contrite heart, the word of God said, he will not despise. So we have to come and understand that in our brokenness, he's able to mend us. Look on what the word said in verse 45 of Matthew 21. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. So people of God, their perception was right. They perceived that he was speaking of them. And look on verse 46, the last verse in Matthew 21. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. When they sought to lay hands on Jesus, people of God, they feared the multitude. They feared the people. They feared the crowd of people that were flocking Jesus. Remember, everywhere he went, the multitude was there. A great crowd of people would follow him because they took him for a prophet. They knew that Jesus Christ is that prophet. The prophet, the priest, the king, he is our all in all. So people of God, we see the chief priests and Pharisees, the religious people know that this parable that Jesus spoke was about them. They perceive that it was about them. He was speaking of them, and it was truly of them, those who hear and fail to believe because they are blinded by religion. We don't want religion to blind us, people of God. We want to come to that place of acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and walk in holiness and truth, walk in honor of his great name, walk as children of light. So we want to go forth in the power of Jesus Christ, doing the will of God and continuing to live for him daily, honoring his great name. God bless you all. We'll stop here this evening and we will continue next week in Matthew chapter 22. So we are going to pray and close. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We honor you for who you are. We thank you for your word to us this evening. We thank you, O God, that you are calling us to fall on you. And in our broken state, we know that you will mend us. For you have come to mend and to heal broken hearts. So we thank you right now for healing for your people. We thank you for emotional healing. We thank you for spiritual healing. We thank you for physical healing. We thank you for social healing. We thank you for financial healing. We thank you for mental healing. We thank you, O God, that you have come to make us whole. And we thank you for wholeness in the body of Christ. As we continue to submit to you, Father, we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you that your word prevents us from stumbling on this journey, and we thank you, O God, that we will walk by faith and not by sight, giving honor to your great name. We love you, Lord. We bless and honor.